Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Awesome. Now this morning, I'm not going to do a lot of entertaining because when we come to our origins and we talk about healing, I'm convinced that a lot of us don't have the scriptural background to understand why on that symbol behind us that we have a picture that represents healing. And so there's a lot in your notes, and so I'm going to kind of push through this as a little bit of a teacher. But I want to first of all say to you, these are challenging days when it comes to looking at what do we trust God for in the area of healing. This past week, I've done a funeral, and I've had two of my mentor saints from when I started ministry passing on to Jesus. And it's just a troubling time, and we wonder, where is God in all this, and what is our role in this, and what does the scripture have to say this? So this morning, I hope that we can lean into that. Will you do that with me? Well, I think we need to do this. Let's stand up and pray and just ask God to open us up. Will you put out your hands in a posture of, Lord, will you teach us this morning? Lord Jesus, we hear a lot about the medical field in these days. And we are so thankful for our frontline workers. We're so thankful for those that are in the ICUs. And Lord, many of us have family members who are in there battling for their lives. And we just ask, oh God, that you would touch them. And Lord, we thank you that your word says to us today that there is healing in the name of Jesus. So Lord, I pray that as we look in your word and as we look in the Old Testament and we see some foundations and in the New Testament, and then as we dive into James chapter 5, I pray, God, that you will bring it to life for us and that as your people, we will know how to respond to what James talks about. And so, Father, I just bless you and thank you. Fill me anew and afresh. Anoint my mind, my lips, my words, my body today as I proclaim your word in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. A.C. Sneed, who was for many years the foreign secretary of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, had been a missionary in India where he had developed TB on the field and was sent home to die. They never thought he'd make it home. And when he did arrive in New York City, the physician examining him said, Mr. Sneed, if you have anyone to see or any business to do, do it quickly for your days are numbered. A.C. Sneed went to God, and God said to him, just walk with me and I'll be the Lord of your body. Just trust me. And that is what he did. And instead of dying, he went on and served the Lord for 40 years after that diagnosis. Dr. Bailey, in relaying this story, said, I can remember him. He looked like a good wind would blow him over, and he had the squeakiest little voice. Somebody said that A.C. Sneed had the voice of a constipated sparrow. Friends, I'm not sure what that sound is like, but he was so feeble and he was so weak that when he would come to meetings in the church, that he'd live on burnt toast and scalded milk. That's all he would eat for 3 or 4 days at a time. Anybody else in that position would have died, but not Sneed. All Sneed had was hallelujah. He was hallelujah from the moment he got up in the morning until he laid his head on the pillow at night, and every day he got up taking the life of Christ and lived drawing from the Lord Jesus. In your notes, the pitcher of oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit and the provision of anointing for healing. So what is a pitcher? What is that little symbol up there? Well, it's a container that held anointing oil. And it was also a symbol of the divine life and physical healing. Now, for those of you that are new, either online or in the room this morning, to the Alliance, let me tell you what our Statement of Faith says. Statement number 8 of the Christian Missionary Alliance Statement of Faith said this: provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick and anointing with oil, as taught in the scriptures, are privileges for the church in this present age. It is so imperative that we know our Bibles, folks. Two men were walking together and talking together, and the first challenged the other. "If you're so religious," he said, "let's hear you quote the Lord's Prayer. I bet you $10 you can't." The second one responded, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The first one pulled out his wallet, fished out a $10 bill, muttering, "I didn't think you knew what it was." Some of you will get that a little bit later on. So how does this affect you and me? How do I know that I can ask for healing in the mortal body? These are great words and great questions. How is it that we've had several people in not only your congregations, but also in the congregations where I have served? Some of them were miraculously healed, and yet others who were Christian, who prayed in faith, succumbed to death. That's another great question. I want to share with you today a number of simple principles from Scripture that I trust will thrust you into the arms of your Savior when you have a physical need. And maybe today you don't have a physical need. And praise God. But I encourage you to take these notes, and when you have a physical need, pull them out and work through them, just as we're going to talk about this morning. So the first point I want you to see is your provision for healing is made through Jesus. What do we mean when we say that Christ is our healer? We mean simply that the Lord has purchased and provided for his believing and obedient children physical strength, life, and healing as the spiritual blessing of the gospel. Simply put, when we believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore our sins as well as our sicknesses, the Alliance believe that there is healing in the atoning work of Christ. Now, I want to share with you three truths or three proofs of the reality of this blessing. First one I want you to see is that the Old Testament predicted it. The Old Testament predicted it. We're going to find a very well-known passage of Scripture in Isaiah, and I want you to look at it. It's in your notes. "But he took our sufferings on him, and he felt our pain for us. He saw his suffering and thought God was punishing him. But he was wounded for the wrong we did. He was crushed for the evil we did. The punishment which made us well was given to him, and we are healed because of his wounds." Circle, he took our sufferings. Circle, he was wounded, which made us well, and we are healed because of his wounds. Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would come and suffer, and that he would suffer for us, that he would take upon himself the suffering of our sin. And we believe that it was not just for our spiritual needs that he suffered for, but also for our physical needs as well. You see, sin and disease came into the world as a result of the fall of Adam in Genesis. If Jesus conquered sin and death, then he has also accomplished this for us. Notice that Isaiah said, "The punishment which was made us well was given to him, and we are healed because of his wounds." He bore our sin, and in bearing that, he made available to us healing. Now, some would question whether this passage actually refers to physical healing, or does it just refer to only spiritual healing? Interestingly enough, the Apostle Matthew writes in his book, he quotes in Matthew chapter 8. In fact, we'll look at that in just a moment. But if you look at Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9, in that record, there's no less than 10 incidences of divine healing. The plan of divine healing started with God. It was his desire. And in Exodus 15, we come across a very interesting passage. The Israelites had just been freed from slavery in Egypt, and after sending all of these plagues on the Egyptians, in which sickness, disease, and even death was involved, God leads the Israelites out of Egypt. And after they go through the Red Sea and they leave Pharaoh's army doing the dead man's float, the Israelites celebrate what God has done for them. But in the midst of their celebration, God speaks to the people in verse 26 of Exodus 15, in which he says this: "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, and if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." In this passage, God reveals a very important aspect of his character and his desire for his covenant people. If Israel would follow him in obedience, he promised not to bring disease upon them and to heal them of their sicknesses and pain, for he is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. You need to understand that God the Father wants to undo the physical consequences of sin. Probably the clearest indication of this desire is found in the earthly ministry of his son Jesus. The Father's desire to heal is mirrored in the life of Jesus. Jesus made it clear that not only he only did what he saw his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does, in John chapter 5, verse 19. And as we read through the Gospels, we'll find that a significant part of Christ's earthly ministry was physical healing. Although it wasn't his central focus, it was not incidental to his purpose either. And when we look at stories like Jesus healing the leper in Mark chapter 1, 41 to 42, we find out that one of the main reasons why Jesus healed others was simply because he cared very deeply for those who had physical needs. In that passage, it says that Jesus was filled with compassion for the man and with leprosy. He reached out his hand and touched the man and says, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Keith Bailey, a well-known Alliance pastor and author, wrote that Jesus' healing miracles are, and I quote, "an index to the very heart of God." A.B. Simpson, our founder, believed this: when Jesus heals, he does it not through a logical necessity that he should keep his promise, but that he does it with his whole heart and soul. He is so sorry for your pain. He is so glad to help you. God the Father does indeed desire to heal our physical ailments, but that is only part of his larger, more encompassing purpose for mankind, which is to establish a relationship with us, to transform us into the image of Jesus, and in doing so, to bring glory to his name. In healing us, God's ultimate intent is to bring glory to himself. We need to understand this when we bring our physical needs before God. Our request for healing must be completely selfless, desiring God's glory above else. Again, I quote Simpson, "So long as we want blessings for ourselves, they are selfish blessings. We must relinquish our rights and claims and take everything only for Christ. Then we can claim God's promises, because it's for God that we are claiming them, and it is God's interest more than ours to bless us." So the plan for divine healing starts with the Father, was predicted in the Old Testament to undo the physical consequences of the sin in our lives, which is part of the greater purpose to bring people into relationship with him for his glory. But the second thing I want you to see is that the New Testament fulfills it. In Matthew 8, the passage we referred to, this is what Matthew writes for us: "That evening, several demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and when he spoke a single word, all the demons fled, and all the sick were healed. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah: he took our sicknesses and bore our diseases." Matthew makes it clear that Isaiah's prophecy concerning Christ was referring to the physical healing ministry of Jesus, and that healing was made available through us through the atoning work of Christ on the cross. Isaiah said, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Clearly, he was referring to Christ's death on the cross, and it says that by his wounds we were healed. Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, conquered sin, which we have seen. which has brought about pain and sickness into the first place. It brought sin. When sin came into the world, it came in and it deals with the root cause. And in taking care of sin, Christ gave the world an opportunity to have the effects of sin canceled in our lives. Not only the spiritual effects that separate us from God, when we talked about this earlier, but the physical effects like suffering and disease as well. So to answer the question, how is divine healing made possible? It's made possible through the Son's atonement. Now, if sin is the ultimate cause of pain and sickness, then in dealing with sin, Christ has also dealt with pain and sickness. Divine healing has been provided for us through the atonement. I want to underscore that the agent by which God works is through the Holy Spirit. For in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." From this verse, we can see that the Holy Spirit is the one who sustains us and carries out the divine healing in our physical bodies. So let's go back to the beginning. Here's a little summary. While God the Father desires healing for mankind and sanctions the work, and while God the Son makes healing possible through his atoning death and resurrection, it is God the Holy Spirit who actually performs the work of divine healing in the life of the believer. Isn't it incredible how the triune God works together and in harmony with one another? As Keith Bailey explains, the Holy Spirit is always the immediate agent of the blessing of the redemption through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's involvement in the area of physical healing could also be seen in the spiritual gifts that we have. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11, explains to one is given through the Spirit the gift of healing. And those are the work of one and the same Spirit who gives them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit will use a believer as a channel of blessing in the area of healing. But this passage makes it clear it's the work of the Spirit, not of the one of whom this gift has been given. So the Holy Spirit, the Old Testament predicts it. The New Testament fulfills it. And thirdly, the resurrection assures it. Look at what it says. "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" You see in this passage that when sin entered the world, God placed a curse upon us with the giving of the law. And all that law does, folks, is point out our shortcomings. It has no power over us. Its only pronouncement is that we're guilty of sin. And Jesus came to rescue us from that curse. He took that curse. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he bore our guilt. He declared us not guilty. Why? Because he was victorious over sin and death. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do we not believe that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he also died on the cross for our sicknesses? Sickness, friends, is the result of sin. And the moment Adam sinned, the whole world, human race experienced sickness. Physical healing is related to the vicarious atonement because sickness in man is a direct result of the fallen state. Christ dealt with sickness by dealing with sin. So then logically speaking, if Jesus through the death and resurrection conquered sin, then he also conquered sickness. You may ask then, why are Christians not in perfect health? It's a great question. The benefit of healing in the atonement does not demand that all of us who exercise faith must have perfect health, any more than the benefit of salvation in the atonement does not demand that all of us who believe must manifest complete sinlessness. As long as we are in this world, we are tainted with the residual of sin and the effects of sin. At the end of this outline, there's several reasons why people are not healed. We don't have a lot of time with all that we're going through, but you take those scriptures and just read them through and see if God would speak to you about those things. So first of all, your healing is provided through Jesus. A second thing, and this is the part I'm most excited about, is your prayer and anointing for healing are commanded. One of the great roles of a pastor is to have opportunities to come alongside people who are in the hospital, either prior to their surgery or after their surgery. And at times you know what you're getting into, and sometimes you never know what's waiting for you when you get there. And one time while I was in Mississauga, we had a family who actually moved from Calgary out down east because of the downturn in the 90s. That's where the jobs were. And he was a construction foreman with this very large company. And he was going in for surgery, and he told me on Sunday. And so I asked him if I could come in and meet with him and pray with him. Well, of course he said yes. He told me the time and the place, so I showed up, and we were chatting and about all the small things in life, you know, those. What was it like in Calgary at that time? I never knew. And then there was a little bit of a silence, and I knew the time for his departure was coming to go in to have surgery. So I got beside his bedside finally, and he said, "Pastor, do you know what kind of surgery I'm having today?" That was usually something I didn't dig in for. You know, if they didn't want it to, you know, give it to me, I never asked. I said, "No, what are you in for?" He said, "I'm having hemorrhoid surgery." Remember, when fear rushes in, logic leaves, right? So in a panic, I said, "If it's okay with you, can I just put my hand on your shoulder when I pray?" Regardless of your physical need, James instructs us how to proceed. God has provided a way for his children to handle the vast experiences of life in Jesus Christ. When it comes to the practice of divine healing within the church, this is a very important passage for us to understand. Keith Bailey says, "The effectiveness of the church's healing ministry depends on how seriously this passage is taken by everyone involved. In this full spectrum of prayer for healing were carried out, the number of incidences of divine healing would be greatly increased. Much failure in the use of anointing comes from a hurried, partial carrying out of the scriptural practice." So what do I need to do to be prayed for and anointed? Well, the first thing I want you to see is that the initiative is to rest with the one who is sick. "Are any of you sick?" James writes. Here's the first step. If you're sick, don't wait for the elders or the pastor to read your mind and come calling to your bedside. You have to take the initiative. It all starts with you. You have to humble yourself before God and ask him if you need to take this further than just your prayer closet. Now let me ask you a question. If you have a hangnail, should you call the elders? Yes or no? Okay, you're right. If you have a common cold, should you call the elders? No, call the doctor. But let me also say that there is no small need that you have that's so small that you can't take it to your Father in heaven. You need to embrace his love for you, but we need to humble ourselves before God, because what James is saying is that we must humble ourselves before the leadership of the church. But it's our responsibility. If I'm the one that's in need of it, it's my responsibility to call. You step out of your comfort zone and seek divine help. But the next part is the instruction is to the sick to call the elders. They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. It's also important to notice that we are to call the elders, plural. Not just one elder. Now, if there's not two elders available, you can pray. But what James is instructing here is that the reason why one person shouldn't necessarily be the one that does all the praying is because God wants to protect himself from being he wants to be the healer, not some individual. And when there's two people there, no one knows what prayer as the one that has prayed the prayer of faith. God alone is to receive the glory because he's the one who does the healing. Now, the third part is that there's an inventory that must be taken of the life of the sick. This is one of the most neglected steps, folks, that people take in preparing for the elders to pray for them. What is an inventory and why is it necessary? Well, it's simple. There may be lifestyle issues that are causing you to be sick. There may be habits that you're involved in that are bringing these inflictions, and maybe you need to ask God to forgive you of this gross misuse of your body and clean them out of your life before you can call the elders for prayer. I'm going to provide the pastoral staff and the elders with an inventory that you can pray through so that you can be convinced that you, by God, are being asked by Him to go to the elders, and we'll give that available to you the next week or so. But the third thing I want you to see is that the intercession must be offered in faith. And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make them well. What is it that the elders are called to do? It says that they are to pray over him or her. Keith Bailey says the right kind of praying is the essential climate for the church's ministry of healing. So what's the right kind of praying? As this passage says, it's the prayer offered in faith. So we have to understand what faith is all about. Faith is not about twisting God's arm to get what we want, but it's bending our will to get what he wants. True faith requires total reliance upon God and total commitment to his will. The prayer offered in faith needs to be motivated and energized by the Holy Spirit. And those praying need to earnestly seek God's will and have a clear sense that it's God's desire for the sick person. Our prayer needs to be inspired by God himself. And it needs to flow directly from the heart of God or it will be ineffective. We can pray all day long, but if it's not motivated by God's desire, then nothing will happen. And one of the things that I think we don't have enough of is waiting upon God and getting a clear sense from him what his will is for us. You see, faith is critical for healing to take place. In fact, the only hindrance to Christ's healing power recorded in Scripture is a lack of faith in Matthew chapter 13. Faith has to rest on the word of God, and too many people's faith rests on the experience of others. That kind of faith can only lead to fantasy more than reality. And the prayer offered in faith should not be seen as some kind of formula where a person thinks that if they only have enough faith, then God will heal them. That puts too much stress on you and on your efforts. Christ is the effective cause for healing. Faith is only the instrumental cause. Sometimes we struggle in the Western culture that we find it easier to put our faith in the science than in God. And think about it. When we get sick, we're more likely to call a doctor than go to God for healing. And that's not to say that Christians should never seek scientific means of healings, like going to a doctor and taking medicine. God chooses to work through medicine and doctors. I believe it completely. In fact, Keith Bailey writes in his book, medicine is among those good things that God has given to men, and it's to be received with thanksgiving. God's people recognize that all healing ultimately comes from God. But the point is this, God needs to be the one who decides the method of our healing. James goes on to tell us to pray, to anoint the sick prayer with oil in the name of the Lord. Why is that important? Anointing with oil has no medical benefit, as some have assumed, and neither is it magical in any way. It is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So as we have said, he is the one who carries out the work of healing. A.B. Simpson taught that oil is a beautiful symbol of the divine spirit of life taking possession of the human body and breathing into it God's vital energy. Although it's not clearly stated in the passage, it's also appropriate to lay hands on the sick as Jesus and the apostles often did. It's in the laying on of hands on a person that we're identifying with them in their need. Notice that it says that it's the Lord's who will raise him up or her up. It will be in Jesus' name. Please be clear this morning that the healing we're talking about is divine healing and not faith healing. Divine healing comes from God alone. The text states that it's the Lord who raises him up. Not the pastor, but the Lord. Not the elder, but the Lord. He is our healer. He is the one we must look to ourselves. A couple more. Y'all okay? Can we carry on? The inspiration is there for the sick, even if they're not healed. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. I also want to mention at this point, there are probably some here who have lost their faith in God's power to heal. Maybe you've come forward for healing before and nothing has happened. I want to encourage you to spend some time reading the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. Luke says that Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Let me say that it's our privilege to come alongside you and pray for you and your need. We desire to be a blessing and encouragement to you, whatever your need is, whether it's physical or otherwise. But it also, lastly, instigates confession to others for healing. For verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. James also points out a connection between healing and forgiveness of sins. We can see that the person seeking God's healing needs to take time to search their hearts. And it needs to be an encouragement to embrace the reality that there may be a need of confessing sin. Because sin is the ultimate cause of sickness. We talked about that before. It makes sense that unconfessed sin could block the healing touch of God. And there's a relationship, a close relationship, folks, between forgiveness of sins and healing. There's an account of where Jesus heals the paralytic. And when the paralytic is brought to him, instead of making reference to his physical need as we would expect, because that was what his need was, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There is a very real relationship between confession of sin and healing, because when sin is taken care of, it no longer blocks the channel of blessing from God to the believer. You see, any person seeking God's healing needs to have the attitude of David when he prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." But here's the most encouraging part about this passage. Number three, you are privileged to experience this even today. As long as you are a believer and you've crossed the line from being a seeker to being a follower of Jesus, this is available to you. Your provision for healing has been made through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your procedure for prayer and anointing is clearly laid out in God's word in James, and the leadership of any Alliance church is prepared to walk alongside of you as you seek to know the will of God for your life. If you want to know a little bit more about our roots, go online and look for the book by A.W. Tozer called Wingspread. It's A.W. Tozer's perspective of the life of our founder, A.B. Simpson. And in that book, he talks about how A.B. Simpson experienced the life of Jesus as a healer. A.B. Simpson was a very sick man. He would work for 2 or 3 months and then have to take off 6 months because he was so sick. Tozer says this, A.B. Simpson, having heard the principles that we just said and shared together from a conference speaker of another denomination, ran into the woods at Orchard Park, New York, with only his Bible and a fallen tree as his altar, Tozer says. And he discovered that Jesus was his healer. And you need to do the same. Today, you'll be given an opportunity to come forward to ask the elders to pray for you. I want to strongly encourage you to carefully search the scriptures that you're convinced that Jesus has provided healing for you in your mortal body. This morning, if you sense that God is prompting you to come over, maybe you don't have a physical need, maybe it's an emotional need, maybe it's a financial need, any need that you have, Pastor Mike is going to lead our healing time here at the front, and I would invite you to form a line just in front of him, and he will listen to your request, and be prepared to answer the question, what is God asking of you today? Then he'll anoint you with oil, and then he will lead you to one of our prayer teams to minister to you. And for those of you in the sanctuary here, if you don't need to come forward, I'd invite you just to pray where you are. Don't be in a rush. Just provide a prayerful coverage needed for these individuals who are going to come forward. And if you're watching online right now, you can click on the link on the left-hand side of the viewer called Prayer for Healing. And that's a button where we'll take you into a Zoom room, and we have elders there prepared to listen to you and pray with you during this morning up until 1 o'clock. And if you watch this outside of the services of this service, when the normal times, maybe it's after 1 o'clock on this Sunday, just click on the prayer request button, and we will get that request to our prayer team, and they will intercede for you. But let me pray as the worship team prepares themselves to lead us as we invite you to make your way up to the front with Pastor Mike. Father God, this is not milk of the word, this is meat of the word. And Lord, your word is so practical for us. It explains to us just exactly how we ought to live. And for those of us that have physical needs, Lord, you've given us instruction this morning about how we ought to prepare ourselves. And Lord, I know that there were many that came this morning that knew we were talking about healing that have come looking to be prayed for. And so, Father, I pray that you would just lead them by your Spirit to take the initiative to come forward and ask for prayer. Holy Spirit, may you continue to saturate this place with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.